Good morning, and it may be evening or afternoon in your case as you're listening to this, and as I always do, actually it's afternoon right now. Oh goodness, the time and place is not of greatest importance, but what we hear from the Word of God. Today, in our Sunday school, our Bible study, we want to look at the glory of God. Of course, this is going to be as deep as we can go for a 30-minute or so portion. So it's not going to be the deepest of studies, but I pray a blessing to each of us, and we will grow by this study. When we consider the glory of God, a number of words and their meanings come to mind. Of course, I'm speaking of words found in the Holy Scripture. The Bible, God's Word. Think upon the following words in reference to God's glory: greatness, majesty, magnificence, excellence, splendor, radiance, brilliance, brightness. Now, for the purpose of this study, we're going to view the glory of God as the brightness, the radiance, the splendor of the excellence of God. His excellence, God's excellence, is absolutely pure, with no hint of imperfection. Briefly stated, God's glory is the brightness of His excellence. I want us to go to the Bible, the Holy Scripture, and I want us to view my reasons for describing God's glory as I have begun this morning or this afternoon. Reading from Ezekiel 10, verse 4. Then the glory of the Lord, went up from the cherub over the threshold of the temple, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. God, the Holy One, His glory covered the heavens. His glory overwhelmed, engulfed the heavens. And the earth was full of His praise. His brightness, His brilliance was like the light. And friends, that light would be likened to the illumination of the sun. Paul, the apostle, got a glimpse of that glory on the road to Damascus when he was confronted with the resurrected Christ. Indeed, Paul was blind for 3 days after that encounter. Paul later recollected that experience when he spoke to King Agrippa, as recorded in Acts 26. Among other things, Paul said to Agrippa, "Along the road, I saw a light from heaven above the brightness, above the brilliance of the sun, brighter than the sun, shining around me. And from that light, the glorified Christ spoke to Paul in his glory. Now that experience of Paul with Christ verified Paul's proclamation found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 14 through 16, where Paul speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing, like his appearing to Paul on the road to Damascus, which he will manifest in his own time, in Christ's own time. The blessed and only sovereign. Your King James say potentate. The word can be translated sovereign, and he is sovereign. The King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light. His glory, the brilliance, the radiance, the brightness of God's glory. Paul experienced in that encounter on the road to Damascus, this is what he experienced: God commanding the light to shine out of darkness, revealing the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Even the brightness, the brilliance of God's excellence, his glory. The glory of God is eternal. It has no beginning and no end. God's glory always has been and always will be. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter speaks of God's eternal glory and attributes to him the glory and dominion forever. Forever and ever. Amen. Folks, God never became glorious. The eternal I Am is eternally glorious. Not so with fallen angels and mankind. Listen up. However, there was a time when both these creations of God, the fallen angels and mankind, shared in a measure of God's glory. In Ezekiel 28, God addresses Satan, stripping the devil of that measure of glory he received from God. God says to Satan, "You, the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You, the anointed cherub who covers, I established you. You were perfect from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your brightness, because of your brightness. God says, I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. Are Christians not kings and priests? New Testament says we are. God says to Satan, you shall be a horror. From glory to the dunghill. The brightness of excellence lost forever in the case of fallen angels. In Revelation 12:4, it appears that one-third of the angels fell into sin with Satan, the dragon. In Jude's short letter, the scripture makes clear the fate of fallen angels. Jude, verse 6. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. You see, friends, they lost the glory of God. God has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness. No brightness of excellence, but under darkness for the judgment of the great day. The fallen angels have lost the glory of God with no possibility of restoration. No mercy, no second chance, no hope, no expectation. No zero glory of God within these spirits. They are cursed forever and will dwell in everlasting punishment, in never-ending fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew chapter 25. Now, the entire human race, that includes you, that includes me, the entire human race is composed of sinners who have sinned and come short, fall short of the glory of God. Now, I want to make a statement here. I know I have even fallen into this because of the way I read this. Come short, fall short of the glory of God is not the strongest translation we could have there. And it made me to think, and it's my mistake, it made me to think, well, maybe there's a little glory, I've just fallen a bit short. No. The word means to be totally inferior, completely deficient, destitute of. In other words, not having. We've sinned and we are destitute of the glory of God. Human beings are created beings. And like the fallen angels, human beings once had a measure of the glory of God. When God created the male and the female, mankind, God said, let us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness. The book of Genesis goes on to say, let them have dominion over all the earth. Then God blessed them. And when God had finished his creation on the earth, the last two words he said, very good. Mankind, created in the image of God, according to His likeness, with dominion over all the earth. And God said, very good. Surely, in measure, Adam and Eve projected the glory of God. But these first two humans, like the fallen angels, did that which was right in their own eyes against the expressed will of God and lost the glory of God. That measure of the brightness and excellence God, excuse me, of the brightness of excellence that God had bestowed upon them. They were destitute of that glory. They no longer had it. And so, with their offspring, down into this day. But thanks be to God, unlike the fallen angels, who were not provided with the grace and mercy of God, a select number of human beings, according to the good pleasure of God, were provided with means necessary to be glorified together with Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son. A human being, yet God. Let's turn to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 8. I'm going to read in several places from chapter 8. Beginning first with Romans 8:14. Listen now. Listen up. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, Father, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be glorified together. Having lost that glory, that we may be glorified together with Christ. Now let's move down in that same chapter to a portion of very well-known scripture among those who believe the sovereign grace of God, reading verses 28 through 30. Listen closely, please. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestinated, conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestinated, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. In whom He justified, these He also glorified. Now I want us to turn over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1, and we're going to read the first four verses. God, who at many times and in many ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by a Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things. Folks, that's who we are joint heirs with. Through whom also He made the ages, who being, this Christ, being brightness of the glory and express image of His person. This express image of His person, the word person there means substance, essence. It's what makes God God. Christ is the express image of that. And upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, cleansed us, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. As the elect of God, out of every kindred, every language, every people, every nation, that's from whom the elect are chosen, God has eternally loved us in Christ. He foreknew us. God predetermined in eternity to redeem us in Christ. He predestinated us. God, from eternity, planned to bid us to come to Christ by calling His chosen ones inwardly, spiritually, by His life-giving Holy Spirit in the new birth. He called us. God, when He called us, He called us unto a declaration of being not guilty. God declared us not guilty in Christ from and for all eternity. He justified us. Due to those foregoing graces of our sovereign God, there is but one expectation: conformity to the image of Christ, who is the brightness of the glory and express image of God. His elect shall be glorified. And that glory will be together with Christ, to whom we are united by His Spirit. In the elect portion of humanity, the image of God, as a result of being new creations in Christ Jesus, will find its completion in our glorification, an eternal glory, a brightness, a radiance of excellence which will never be lost. In our glorification, the glory of Christ will illuminate us forever. Do you hear that? In our glorification, The glory of Christ will illuminate us forever. Are you part of the church? The city of God mentioned in Revelation? The church, the city of God, collectively and individually? Christ's glory in us will shine radiantly forever. The church, the city of God, you and I, collectively and individually. Revelation 21:23 says this: the city, the church, had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it. To shine in it. What shines in us? For the glory of God. For the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Do you get the tie there? The glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. Christ, the glory of God in us. There is no darkness in Him at all. We will share in that glory. Excuse me. I was thinking of the word glorified at the same time. We will share in that glory, in being glorified. That radiance, that brightness, that light, eternally. We will not be God. We will not be God. But there will be no darkness in us at all. Like unto Jesus, filled with the glory of God. As Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power working in us. To Him be glory. Where? To Him be glory where? In the church. By Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Glory in us, in the person of Jesus Christ forever. Our glorification. Glory in the church by Jesus Christ forever. The brightness of God's excellence in us perfectly. No indwelling sin. I close with this. And there is no glory above God's glory. Listen to this. Listen to this. Psalm 8:1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent, how glorious Your name in all the earth. You who have set forth Your glory, listen to this, above the heavens. As the heavens are infinitely high, never ending, God's glory is above that. Think upon that. Glory, glory, glory. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit. Amen.